listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
You are the light.
Welcome today to Lifeline, brought to you by Bob Allen Ministries.
When the storm's within us range,
you are the lifeline.
You're the master of the waves. You are the lifeline, the mighty God who saves.
Here's your host, Bob Allen.
Here's your host, Landon Allen. Bob's not in the studio this week. I'll be with you, praise God. Oh, I love you. So good to be back. I love coming on here and doing this. Listen, the program's called Lifeline. I'm going to give you some numbers, okay? I'm going to give a quick greeting, give you phone numbers, Gmail, and regular mail so you can contact us during the week. This program is live. Let me say that. This is not recorded. This is not a CD. I am sitting here speaking into a mic as you are listening in your car, in your home, wherever you're at. If you feel the urge, if the unction comes on you to call up here and say, man, I need some of that. I don't want to interrupt your program, but I need Christ. Interrupt my program. I'd rather you find Christ and get to know Jesus today and get your relationship right, change your life right, get your house in order, get your job in order, stop being late for work. I'd rather you transform into the image of Christ. I'd rather you transform your life into something better than what it is today. So I don't mind being interrupted for the glory of God. Let me make that clear. So if you need to call up here to receive Christ, to begin your walk, to start your journey, to end your battle, whatever it is, 221-1100 is the local number. 221-1100 is the local number. Out of town is 888-221-8990. That's 888-221-8990. You may hit us up on the web anytime. I don't think we get enough web interaction. We're here to help you. This is free help. This is free counsel. This is years. I've got maybe nine. That's not a lot, but 9 years with the Lord consistent. You know, Pop's got, oh my gosh, Bob Allen, I don't know, 50? You know what I mean? We've got some experience here. We want to help you. We've gone through all the things you think you've gone through. We've been there. We've done that. We've gone through it. We've made it through the battle. Come out on the other side because of the Lord. So don't be afraid to seek counsel. The Bible says it in the book of Psalms. Seek counsel. It does. It's very high on counsel. Godly counsel. Let me say that. Now, if you need us, the Gmail address is trylifeline@gmail. How easy is that? Try Lifeline. T-R-Y. trylifeline@gmail. Anytime we welcome that. We want to help you. The regular mail. We love your support for this ministry. Just hit us up there at Lifeline. That's Box 1603, Jensen Beach. Lifeline, Box 1603, Jensen Beach, 34958. Listen to me. Listen close. Turn up your radio. The enemy is desiring to creep into your camp. That's what we're going to talk about. The enemy is desiring to creep into your camp. So call somebody and say, get up and listen to this thing. Go online right now, WCNO.com. Click live broadcast anywhere. Bahamas, I don't care what friends you have. Africa, Canada. Call them. Say, man, turn this on. WCNO.com. Click on live broadcast right now because the enemy is desiring to creep in your camp and you need to know it. We've gotten so accustomed to the world system, we don't even see it. He's just tearing us apart and we have no earthly clue. We are totally blind and have accepted it as normal. It's not normal. Okay, we've been taught to think it's normal, but it's not. You can rise above that if you want to. All right, WCNO.com, live broadcast, click now, or on demand, anytime, on demand. Pull us up. If you don't pull us up, pull somebody else up. Get some help. All right? Listen, the enemy's designed to creep in your camp. If you look at 1 Peter 5:8, okay? Listen, let's just go ahead and read this scripture. 1 Peter 5:8, we're going to start with 7, and we're going to go through 10, actually. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. You don't call your girlfriend. You don't call your mother. You don't call your whoever. You don't tell your boss. You don't tell your coworkers. You don't whine and cry about everything. You cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Then it says, here's some commands. You have to obey the commands of God if you want to reap the benefits of the power of God in your life. Be sober. First command, he goes in verse 8. Be sober. Be found of a sober mind. Have your thoughts clear, God says, so I can speak to you, so I can direct you, so you can hear my voice. When you're under the influence of a different spirit, I cannot speak to you, and you cannot receive the things that I have for you. Write that down. When you're under the influence of a different spirit, I don't care if it's honey buns, I don't care if it's TV, Some people get so drunk on TV, they get so intoxicated on a program, you can't speak to them. You interrupt their program, it's war, man. God can't speak to you like that. God can't speak to you on alcohol and things. He just can't. You have to be sober, it says in verse 8. Be vigilant. And then it goes into the why. There's a colon there. He fully explains it. Because your adversary, the devil, and I'm not making, this is what it says. If you look it up in Scripture, turn your Bible to 1 Peter. It's in the New Testament, kind of towards the back, not too far from the very end of the Bible. So it's just a few books back. Be sober. Be vigilant. And he says why. Very clear. Because your adversary, and I'm looking at the words, T-H-E-D-E-V-I-L. Because your adversary, the devil, okay? The devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. If you're not in the fold of God, if you're not filled with the word of God, and have that power to just call upon that word out of the innermost beings of your belly. Anytime you need it, you can just recall a scripture. Scripture will just come forth. The Holy Spirit will bring it up out of you and get it come out of your mouth and do battle against the spiritual warfare. If you're not there, then you're weak. And when you're weak, listen, I'm just telling you the facts now. This is all scriptural. When you are weak, that's the one that he'll destroy. He's seeking you. When you think about that lion in the jungle chasing whatever it is he's chasing, antelopes, gazelle, the weak one is the one that he attacks, the one that has fallen away from the flock. If that's you today, if you were once plugged in, all right, and you've fallen away from the flock. I had someone tell me, man, I used to sing in John Hagee's church. A young lady said that to me this very past week. The words keep echoing through my brain. I used to sing in John Hagee's church. I was a singer for John Hagee. Well, where are you now? I mean, I'm not speaking directly to you. I'm just using you as an example in case you're listening. I love you dearly. It's just one of those things. If you slip the least bit back, you got to be careful. You got to be careful. And I speak this out of love. You got to be careful because the enemy is desiring to destroy you, to devour you. It says so. He will devour you. And then it says this, though. The next verse gives you the utmost weaponry to come against him. It says, whom resist, who? We're still talking about the devil. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. You resist him by being unmovable and unshakable in your faith. You cannot be unmovable. You cannot be unshakable. You cannot be a mountain of faith if you don't have a mountain of word down in you. If you have no word, you have no faith, man. I'm giving this to you raw, straight, and simple. No word, no faith. Everything that has to do with God is found through his word. If you think you have a relationship with God and you have no word in you, you have no personal private time with him, you don't get up in the morning and the first thing's on your mind is, I need some word, I need some God, I need my Bible. I've got to get in here and get the scripture in me so whatever comes up against me today, I'm ready for it. I'm prepared. I've got my gear on. It's in me. I can pull it up and pull it out and put it on it. If you can't do that, you don't have it. Don't fool yourself. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing this, that the same afflictions that are accomplished in you, brother, man, that they're the same ones that are in the world. But God, he says, of all grace, he says, but the God of all grace, who's called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. That's a critical statement there. By Christ Jesus. We got a lot of religions trying to get to God without Christ. You cannot. The Bible speaks clearly against that. But the God of all grace, who's called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while. So if you're in suffering, you need to start rejoicing and calling on the name of Christ Jesus, because your whole situation is about to change. After that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Father God, we thank you for the short time we have together. We know it's not very long, but we praise you, we worship you, we extol you, we eulogize you, we hunt you, we hound you, Lord, we seek your face. We are serious today. We are here today to say, God, I want what you have for me. I want it to come in my ear gate. I want it to come in my eye gate. And I want it to set up camp down in my innermost being, Lord. I need to hear from you. I need your direction in my life. I've looked back over the course of my life, and it's been absolutely crazy. And I realize I'm caught up in the world system more than I want to be. Free me, Lord. Make me free. Open the eyes of my understanding as we hear your word today, Lord, that it can come down and fill us through your spirit, through your word. Please let it absorb into my innermost being and start overcoming my flesh, that I may walk and be transformed into your likeness and into your image today. And I pray this in the spirit to the Father by the name of Jesus Christ. That's the authority. We thank you, Father God, for hearing our prayer. Amen. Be sober. Be sober. The enemy is desiring, he's craving, he's panting, he's drooling over it. He is desiring to creep into your camp. That's your home. You own that property. You bought that house. Now it's totally divided. You guys are talking about getting a divorce. Active in the church, members in the church, singing in the choir, talking about getting a divorce. And you think the enemy's not in your camp, man? I'm going to give it to you the way it should be today. Wake up. Wake up. The enemy's in your camp. The ball game's on. We always drink beer during the ball game. The enemy's in your camp, man. We always have wine on the weekends. Oh, we work all week hard. We deserve a bottle. The enemy's in your camp. The enemy's in your camp. You don't know, and here's the thing. You don't know what God could have had planned for you. You don't know the calling he was going to give you to go help that person Saturday night, but he couldn't. He couldn't. You're grilling, you're chilling, you got your thing going on because you know what? You've worked hard all week, and you deserve it. Who do you think? Do you think God's telling you that? You think God's saying, man, you've worked hard all week, you deserve it. Go get a 12-pack on that. You deserve it. You're good all during the week. You're good. No, sir. No, sir. The devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Be sober and be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, is after you. The affirmation of this, if you look this up, this thing affirms as to abstain from wine. That's actually what it said when I looked it up. To abstain from wine, to keep sober, to keep yourself is to guard yourself with your heart, with your attitude, with your mentality. The thoughts of your mind must guard your actions, your speech, and where your feet go and what your hands touch. The thoughts of your mind need to be guarded in such a way with scripture in there that it controls the things you touch, the things you say, where your feet go, and what you get into. What you get active into needs to represent the activity of the flow of God. You need to be writing this stuff down. I'm flowing in the spirit today. You better write this stuff down. God is teaching us all something, especially me. Listen, here's the figuratively side of that. Figuratively speaking, it means to watch. So we have the affirmation of to abstain from wine, to keep yourself sober. That's your responsibility. Nobody else is going to keep you sober. Nobody's going to keep you from being intoxicated on the ball game or intoxicated on your favorite TV show that you just can't leave alone. The world will stop. I don't care if the kid cut her finger off, take her to somewhere, sew her up, shut her up. I'm watching the ball game. That's not how it's supposed to be. I'm hooked on my TV show. Don't interrupt me now, woman. You see my show's on. Shut up. We'll do that. That's your wife, man. That's your husband you're talking to. The TV's become your God and they become your secondary activity? Come on. Wake up. All right? Listen to me now. It is to keep yourself sober. It's your responsibility. Totally on you, 100%. And without God, you will not be able to do it. I'm going to get to that. You've got to have a power other than yourself. All right? Now, the figuratively side of this, or speaking, it means to watch. So you're to keep sober and to be watchful. You'd be a paranoid schizophrenic watching for something that's not coming. You would. You'd be diagnosed crazy. But God tells you, see, the world system says, don't worry about it. It's going to be all right. We live under the biggest lie. That is the biggest lie. That should be on a billboard on every main avenue in our life. Don't worry about it. It's going to be all right. And under it needs to say, big lie, signed Satan. It's the biggest lie you ever hear. It's not going to be all right. And you need to be concerned about it. Don't worry yourself. God will help you if you're willing to step forward and come to him for help. Okay? God's word says to keep yourself sober. That's your responsibility. Be watchful because your opponent, you have an opponent. Whether you recognize him or not, you have an opponent. Let me tell you a couple other things here. All right? And I'm not knocking anything. I'm trying to help you. If you're smoking yourself to death, right? If you've had cigarettes for 30 years, cigars, whatever it is, 50 years, 40 years, 30 years I've been doing that. Your opponent's got you, man. You're not winning the battle. He's slowly choking you out. He's taking the very breath of your life. He is. He's after you. But you can't see him. Your opponent's out to get you, very smooth, very slick, full of a lot of trickery, and we don't even know how to watch for him. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, for Satan comes. Satan himself, it actually says. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Not his helpers, not his little teammates, not his partners, not the guys that come after you. He says, for Satan himself, Beelzebub himself, he says, is transformed into an angel of light. That's why you won't see him seeking you. You can't see an angel of light seeking you. And it looks good. It looks good. Just like the story I gave you. I worked all week. I deserve it. I've done good. I've been perfect. I don't cheat on my wife. I'm perfect, man. I deserve it. What? So I get a 12-pack. Big deal. It's a big deal. You don't, because you don't know what you missed. You don't know the blessing. You don't know the opportunity. You don't know the time God was going to talk. And then you got nerve to go in church talking about, I've never heard God's voice. I'm an elder. I'm a deacon. I play in the band. I'm the drummer. God doesn't speak to me. If he don't speak to me, he won't speak to you. He was going to. All right? You didn't keep yourself sober. You didn't guard yourself. You have a responsibility. Guard yourself. It's your responsibility. All right? Listen, let me show you something here, okay? Remember this too. When the Bible says he walketh, Satan walketh, E-T-H, he's continually moving, continually walking, seeking whom he may devour. In the Old Testament now, let me show you something about Scripture. In the Old Testament, the battle was in the natural, fought with the flesh. It was a physical confrontation. We got together, you and I looked you in the eye, and we duked it out. We had it. We stabbed each other, killed each other with a sword, whatever it was. We went at each other. I could see you coming. It was physical. You were there. You saw me. I saw you. In the New Testament, when Christ went to the cross and said, it's finished, that physical confrontation's over. Everything moved into the spirit realm. In the New Testament, the battle is in the spirit, not in the flesh. And you know how you fight it? There's only one way. This is God's prescription. This is God's design, not Landon or Bob's. It's God's design. God said this, the battle is fought only by the sword of the Spirit. And then if you look it up, it says it is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. That's what it says. The battle's fought by the sword of the Spirit, and it clearly calls it the Word of God. Now, let me really think about, paint this picture. You're fighting an enemy you cannot see. You're in a battle that the only bullets or the only weaponry you have to defeat this enemy is the Word of God. It is the ammunition. It is the take him out. It is the Scud missile. It's the thing that will destroy him. If you don't have that, he will slowly, perpetually destroy you. You can't beat him by thinking it. You can't tell him anything. You can't tell him leave you alone. You can't preach to yourself about it's going to be all right. Everybody goes through this. Yeah, but you're not everybody. The Bible says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're the image of God. You're to be transformed into Christ-likeness. Does that sound like a normal everybody? You're a bad mamma jamma. Let me tell you this. Before the first computer was ever invented, God made a massive highway of transducers and transconductors and all that in your brain. You are an awesome computer. You can look at this and think of that and talk on the phone while you drive and even text what you're not supposed to do. But that's how talented you are. Just say that. Say, I am a bad mamma jamma. Female or male, say, I am awesome. God has made me wonderful. I am a super highway of information. My computer is phenomenal. Satan has clogged my mind and messed up my hard drive, but I'm back. Landon's right. I'm going to clear my head. I'm going to get myself sober, and I'm going to get off that TV. I'm going to get off the things. I'm going to get off the books. I'm going to get off the romance novels, the things that have captivated my brain. I'm going to get off the worry. Some of us are intoxicated on worry. Love to worry. Live to worry. Can't wait to tell somebody about the problem. All right, listen to this. In Luke 8:21, Jesus said this, and this is a very strong statement. I don't have time to explain all the stuff before and after today because time's so short on this program. But he says in Luke 8:21, Jesus said, my mother and my brother are these which hear the word of God and do it. Not just hearing it. You can listen to me and turn me off and never listen again. You hadn't done nothing. He said, my mother and my brother are these which hear the word of God. This is what Jesus said himself. And do it. Guess what? If you're not spending any time in your word, that doesn't apply to you. You'll never hear the word of God and do it. On one hand, you got the people that never think about God. God is no more than a concept to them. He's just some concept. He's like Zeus. He's like whatever other god of thunder and all that. He, you know what I mean? He's just a concept. Then you got the people who have justified their salvation based on the standards set by the natural world. It's okay. Everybody does that. Everybody gets involved in that. Everybody falls into that. Everybody goes out and does that. Oh, everybody cusses every now and then, Landon. They bang their toe, a cuss word flies out. That's natural. That's not natural. You weren't designed to do that. That's against the nature that you're supposed to have. You can have, totally up to you. You can have the nature of the world. You can have the nature of Christ. Choose ye this day whom you'll serve. Choose ye this day who you want to be. All right? Don't justify your actions based on what other people do, the standards set by the natural world, which is run and controlled by the enemy, and then think that that's godly living. That is deception, my friend. Then you got the people that say, well, I go to church every Easter, man. Christmas, I'm good. Man, Landon, I go every Easter, Christmas. You know, I go a few other times here and there, and I'm a good person, and God knows my heart. He does. He knows it's far from him. He knows it's far from him. You get up on Sunday morning, then guess what? The last thing that'll possibly cross your mind is going to spend time with your God. It's the last thing you think about. The golf course calls your name. Some other sports activity calls your name. The boat calls your name. Let's go get drunk at the sandbar today. That sounds awesome. Those are not things. Those are not attributes of God. You're not representing him. You're not Christ-like. That doesn't look like Christ by any shape, form, or fashion. On the other hand, the modern-day Christian, which is where most of us are today, church every Sunday, man, choir, small groups, I'm in. I go to small groups even, Landon. I have zero personal time with God. Hardly ever, if ever, do I get up in the morning and spend a half hour on my knees talking to my God, going, God, I love you today, and I thank you, man. I praise you. I don't even know what I'm doing, Lord, because I just started this. But Landon said, get on my knees and just start praising. I'm talking to you, Father. Do you hear me? I'm talking to you, Father. I love you. I need you. I want to be more like you. I want to learn your scripture. I want it to come down into the innermost part of my being. I want it to take possession of my soul. I want it to become my thoughts. I don't want to think about the junk I think about all the time. I want to start being transformed into your image. I want scriptures to come to my mind. I want inspiration to come out of the wellspring of my heart. I want it to come from deep down within and control me all the day. Let your scripture flow through me, Lord. Let me become like you. Do you do that? Do you have that kind of personal time? Are you on your knees going, God, forgive me for what I said yesterday, for what I thought, for what I did. It's wrong. I shouldn't have judged that person or whatever you did. You're starting your day with prayer first thing in the morning. God's the first thing on your mind. If you have no alone time in your word with just you and God, letting the Holy Spirit teach you, then you're simply not there. You're playing church, and that's called religion. That's what we had in the old days. It's the religious, the elect, the top of their game, all right, that crucified Christ. The religious elite put him on the cross because they had no personal relationship. They didn't know him. It's the same. If you watch the scripture, it's the same example. They played religion. They played with documents, theologies, but they had no relationship. You won't be able to get help without the relationship. This is the group I want to talk to today. I wish I had more time. You're in a battle, all right? Listen, let me ask you this. Think about this for a minute. When the enemy sees you coming, what does he see? When Satan sees you coming, does he look up and see the glory of God? Does he see the image? The Bible says you were made in his image. We were made in his image and his likeness. It's in the book of Genesis. Look it up. It'll be in chapter 2 or 3 right there. Chapter 2 or 3 of Genesis is right there in the very beginning. In his image and in his likeness. Is that what Satan sees? When he sees you coming, does he look and go, oh my God, he looks just like his father. Gosh, he looks just like his father. Look at those eyes. Look at that boldness. Look at that glory. He looks just like his father. I'm not messing with him. I'm gone. He's got too much God in him. He's got the DNA. I can see the composite. I can see the makeup. He looks just like Christ. I'm not touching that one. Let's go. He pulls his boys and he flees camp, man. The battle does belong to the Lord, but you got to do something. When the enemy sees you coming, what does he see? Are you fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God, your father? If not, I challenge you right now to call this station. 221-1100. 888-221-8990. You call here and say, I'm not landing. I'm going to be man enough and woman enough to admit it, and I want it. I want what you got. I want to be like that. I want to be Christ-like. I want to battle the enemy eye to eye. I know I got the confidence of God in me and on my side. I want to look like my father. I want to be transformed into Christ-likeness. You got to do something. Don't sit there. Nothing happens when you sit. The Bible says in Romans 12, 2, you need to look this up. Having been transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. I want to be transformed. I dream about it. I think about it. The Bible says that doesn't work. It says if you want to be transformed into the image of God, it is done by the renewing of your mind, by the word of God, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How's that work? I don't get it. Okay, listen. When you get in the word, and you get the word in you, and the word in you, and the word in you, it starts to reprogram your supercomputer upstairs that I talked about. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You're made to take in a lot of information. You are smart. You can understand the dialect. You can understand the Bible. You can understand the words. And you've even got a tutor. God says, I'll send my Holy Spirit. He'll help you, guide you, teach you, instruct you. He'll expound. He'll take the lid off. He'll reveal. He'll uncover that scripture and allow you to understand it, you whom couldn't otherwise understand it. You have a personal tutor assigned by the Lord. He's paid for him with his blood. He paid for this tutor to sit there and teach you, and you need not come to scripture to learn when you have a master teacher sitting waiting to teach you. That makes no sense to me. And what do you mean by I'll prove what's good and acceptable by God? Your transformation is the proof. Your transformation is the proof. People will look and go, man, I used to know that joker. He was a worthless piece of so-and-so. There is no possible way. Let me tell you something. Oh, I've been in the bogs of hell with him drunk on the side of the sidewalk for days. Or whatever. I'm just making, but you know what I mean? They'll say, there is no possibility that that sorry piece of so-and-so could have possibly changed except it be for God. His transformation is proof that there's a God. Her transformation, she walked the streets. You could pick her up on any corner, but her transformation today has to be from God. There's no possible way she could have done that. She was dying in the hospital, 3 months left to live. All right? She's the assistant to the children's nursery at her church now today, 4 years later. There's no possibility except God. Your transformation is the proof. Excuse me, Landon. The Bible says the battle belongs to the Lord. That's true. But let me end on this. You can't do nothing and expect something. That's ignorance. That's not scriptural. That's not even common sense. That's ignorance. You can't do nothing and say, God's got my back. He'll fight my battle. I've got no word in me. I spend no time with him. I spend more time with the bottle than I do anything else. I spend more time running around my homies. Yo, we love to go. There's nothing wrong with four-wheeling. That's great activity. If you've got God in your life and you've given him the time he deserves, then you want to go have fun, that's fine. If the fun comes before him, your feast table is empty. When it's time to call upon things, you don't even know what to call upon or how to call upon it. God said, I sent my word. I sent my word. I'm going to give you a reading assignment this week. I don't have time, and this is crucial scripture. Write it down. Get your phone out and get ready to speak it to your phone, whatever you got. Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 12. You need to meditate on them like you've never meditated on anything in your life this week and get to know what God's saying, because this is who he wants you to be. His desire for you is Isaiah 55, 8 through 12. That's how God sees you. That's what God has planned for you. Isaiah 55, 8 through 12. That's God's plan for you. It starts with that thing about my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. In other words, God's saying, listen, your thoughts are not even my thoughts. Don't deceive yourself. You naturally do not think like me at all. You naturally, your ways are nowhere similar to my ways. And then he says, as the heaven is from the earth, that's how high above you my ways are and my thoughts are. And that's fine. That's not God being braggadocious and saying, you're way down here, I'm way up here, and you'll never get there. He says, listen, but if you get in my word and you transform by the renewing of your mind, your thoughts become my thoughts. I'll elevate you up to my level. Your thoughts will become my thoughts. Your actions will become my actions. The things you do, the things you say, how you handle things will become Christ-like. You got to do this. This is God's plan for you. If you'll allow yourself to be transformed by the renewing of your mind through his word, it will become a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Let me end in this. I want you to say this with me. I'm going to say it fast, though, because we're out of time. God's word will become a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. My life is about to change. Say that. My life. Say it in your car. Say it at work right now. Don't be scared. My life's about to change. I've got the power of God's word on my side. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against me in judgment, that's no weapon shall be formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against me in judgment shall be condemned. I'm sober, I'm vigilant, and I'm warning you now, devil. I'm seeking God's word daily. So you better seek to devour somebody else, because I'm in. I'm going to start reading my Bible every morning. I thank you. I love you. Remember, lifeline@gmail.com. That's how you get us. And Lifeline, Box 1603, Jensen Beach, Florida, or 34958. I need your support. Lifeline, 1603, Jensen Beach, 34958. Love you.
Your host, Bob Allen. A broadcast ministry brought to you by your generous gifts of support. To support this ministry, please send your gifts to Lifeline, P.O. Box 1603, Jensen Beach, Florida, 34958. To contact Dr. Allen, the email address is trylifeline@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and join us next week at the same time for Lifeline.